dropping your pants and kiss my butt. Dropping your pants and kiss my butt. Dropping your pants. Dropping your pants. Dropping your pants and kiss my butt. Ric Flair is a total pathetic idiot. I think that the drugs that he took must have burned half of his brain. Ric Flair, kiss my butt. Profanity, vulgarity, profanity, vulgarity. Sex with a corpse. Sex with a corpse. Vince McMahon, kiss my butt. Where does this idiot get the audacity to make a remark like that?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the great Bruno Sammartino talking about, well, several things. Vince McMahon, Ric Flair, the world of professional wrestling. And that's what we're going to do today, talk about the world of professional wrestling. Some of you are wondering, what is this show? Wrestling Radio? What? What? This used to be a regular show, and it's something I fell out of the habit of. And every time I think everybody's forgotten about it, no one cares about it anymore, no one could possibly, you know, at this point I figure everyone's just moved on to something else, and every time I just think I can walk away from it, you guys just drag me back in to do this freaking show. There were comments posted on YouTube in the comments for That New Toy Smell, people sending me emails, people posting on our message board. I did a podcast the other day with the guys from Geekcast Radio Network, and I didn't get more than, I don't know, maybe 2 seconds into the conversation with those guys, and the question came up of when are you doing another wrestling radio. So here I am. Here we are back for wrestling radio. And there's a lot to talk about because, like I said, I haven't done the show in a long time. And last time we were here, gosh, I mean, I don't even know. I think it was pre-Royal Rumble. We were getting ready for the Royal Rumble. And I just, I don't know, I've been kind of in a funk the last couple months. And most people would say, oh, well, it's because The Miz is champion. It's not quite exactly it. But there are a lot of problems in the wrestling industry today. And I think we finally hit the ultimate low point this week. The point where it's like, okay, now's the point to say something. Now's the point to come out and say something and start doing the show and watch as it rebounds. Because this last week has been so bad, it can only go up from here. And that's my official stance. Because Raw had some concepts that were fantastic and some of the worst things I've seen on Raw in forever. And Raw's not alone. TNA had the absolute worst pay-per-view I think I may have ever seen. I think I watched a couple of those backyard wrestling, they had Major Guns take her tops off and whatever. I saw some of those backyard wrestling DVDs, and those were better than this TNA pay-per-view. The TNA pay-per-view basically had two matches that were decent, and the rest was just god-awful. They had a woman's match where nobody was in the right position. Nobody could remember what they were doing. You had this first blood match with just this nonsensical ending. You had Mr. Anderson forgetting how to do a what was it? So, first of all, leapfrog he messed up, and then it was a headlock takedown. He just couldn't figure out how to do it. You had this main event that was a minute because Jeff Hardy showed up apparently high. And doesn't look good for his court hearing coming up. The pay-per-view was so bad. And there are a lot of people out there that are like, no, TNA is where it's at. TNA is a much better product than WWE, which the ratings would disagree. But it was so bad that TNA put out this announcement. It says, TNA Wrestling strives to give fans who purchase our pay-per-views as close to a full 3-hour event as possible. This past Sunday's TNA Victory Road fell short of that standard. Your support of TNA is never taken for granted. To show you how much we value that support, we would like to offer 6 months of free access to the TNAOnDemand.com library. To receive your free offer, please send a copy of your Victory Road pay-per-view purchase receipt to... And then there's an address. Please be sure to submit your name, address, and email address as we will be emailing a special code that will unlock over 300 hours of great TNA wrestling action. God, I don't even know if that makes up for it. If you saw that pay-per-view, it was one of those pay-per-views where just... WWE, when they do a bad pay-per-view, it's usually a bad pay-per-view because nothing happens. You know, you usually feel like, man, that was a thumbs-down pay-per-view just because you got done with it and you're like... None of the matches really made a difference in any, you know, particular feud or storyline. None of the matches were exceptionally well done. You know, a bad WWE pay-per-view is basically a pay-per-view where nothing really happens, and it's just like watching a three-hour episode of Raw. A bad TNA pay-per-view is like getting kicked in the crotch by... I don't even know, like, I don't know, being kicked in the crotch is bad enough as it is. I don't know, NFL punter wearing his spikes? I don't know what you would call worse than being just randomly kicked in the crotch, but a bad TNA pay-per-view is dead fish, and this was just god-awful. And it's one of those things where this show is so bad, you kind of need to see it at some point, you know what I mean? It's like watching Ishtar. Or listening to the Macho Man rap album. You know what I mean? It's just kind of one of those things where every so often you just think, I got to see something that's so terrible that it makes my life seem pretty good in comparison. And this pay-per-view is going to keep a lot of people from committing suicide. Because they're going to watch this pay-per-view, and then after the pay-per-view is done, they're going to be like, well, if Eric Bischoff didn't commit suicide in the middle of that show, then I still have a reason to live. So I guess that's something to be said for Victory Road. Make no mistake about it, Victory Road was terrible. Pathetic. But then we had a Raw. And the Raw episode had some stuff on it that was fine, it was okay. And it had some stuff on the show that was just terrible. And there was very little that was absolutely groundbreaking fantastic. They opened up with The Rock. He was on the phone. He's talking to, I don't know, he said the president. I'm hoping it's the ghost of Jack Tunney. If it's Obama, he loses a couple cool points, but whatever. He's in there, he's talking on the phone, talking about how Cena's promo last week sucked, which, it was okay. It didn't suck. It was certainly better than some of the other promos on that show, but he just basically said that Cena responded to him like a child, so he had a little kid come in. The little kid was dressed up like Cena, cut a promo on the kid, gave the kid a box of Fruity Pebbles, told him to leave. And then he turned and he cut a promo on The Miz. And, you know, cutting the promo on Cena was okay. It just didn't feel like anything special. Just like Cena's promo last week didn't feel like anything that special on The Rock. It was basically the same joke he had done the week before with his raps, or 2 weeks before, whatever. Now it was time for Rock to cut a promo, and his promo felt like the same promo he had cut before on John Cena. So then he turned to address The Miz, and suddenly this music starts playing, like this dramatic... spooky, like, I don't know what it's like. Sometimes, if you remember when they used to do promos with Kane, and Kane would be backstage, and Kane would start talking, and suddenly the red lights would come out of nowhere, and the bad organ music would hit. This felt like that. And it was just kind of one of those things where it just took you so much out of the moment. It was just, and it was not a good promo from The Rock, so on top of that. I mean, whatever. So all in all, that was just a bad, just lame segment. They had Trish backstage talking to Snooki from Jersey Shore. Yeah, that was fantastic, huh? They had Michael Cole. Michael Cole was sitting in a little box, like a Pope Mobile. Like they took the back of the Pope Mobile and put it on the ground, bulletproof glass, whatever. They had Michael Cole sitting in there. He had a cover on top of his on his little monitor that had his face on it. He had his own little desk in there. He had his own special little cage. And it was a really, really funny gag, except for two things. One, there was no roof. So if Jerry Lawler really wanted to attack Michael Cole, all he had to do was get up onto the announce desk and jump over into Michael Cole's little booth. But number two, in a segment a few minutes later, the general manager chimed in, and Michael Cole just got up and opened the little hatch and walked out of this cage and walked right past Jerry Lawler to get to... the laptop. And of course, you know, if you're in a cage to protect yourself from this other guy, under zero circumstances should you get up and get out and walk right past the guy. So regardless, though, he was in this little Pope-mobile thing. He did an introduction for The Miz. Miz came out and cut a promo on The Rock. And we've talked before. I don't like The Miz. I don't care for him. And there are people say, oh, he's a breath of fresh air. He's a new guy. At least he's not the same old guy on top. He's a new guy. But he's a new guy who has absolutely no credibility and has in no way been treated like a guy who deserves to be at the top. In no way does he look like he deserves to. And he came out and he cut this promo on The Rock, and he's calling out The Rock, and he says, you know, I've beat up John Cena, I can beat up The Rock, you know, don't you ever come around here, blah, 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 blah. And at no point listening to this promo, I mean, did anybody listen to this promo and say, oh, wow, the Rock better keep back from The Miz, because The Miz might just lay him out. I mean, at no point in this promo are you thinking, wow, this is a great promo on behalf of The Miz, good job, Miz. No, the entire time you're sitting there going, why is Kermit the Frog calling out The Rock? He is nowhere near being on The Rock's level. It's kind of funny because last week they had a segment where Michael Cole was in the ring and he said, you know, I've got a contract for the special guest referee for my match at WrestleMania. And he called out JBL. And they had the limo pull up, and JBL got out of the limo and came down to the ring, and JBL got on the mic. And, oh my gosh, I remember when JBL was champion. He was, like, I think the longest-running champion in the history of SmackDown. May still be. May have been the longest-running champion, you know, until The Miz, you know, won the title and has been stuck here in limbo until WrestleMania. JBL, when he was champion, would cut promos, and people were like, oh, there's nothing special about his promos. He says the same thing over and over and over, and who could care, blah, 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 blah. JBL came out, cut this promo on Raw last week, and that promo was probably the best promo on all of Raw last week. Better than anything from John Cena, better than anything from, you know, clips from The Rock, better than, you know, whatever. That was a tremendous promo, and it just goes to show you that a guy 5 years ago who cut a promo and people were like, eh, whatever, today is better than anyone else on the show on a regular basis. That really says something about promos in WWE. The way they script them out, the way they have these wannabe sitcom writers and wannabe, 12 rounds part 5 straight to DVD writers coming in and scripting out promos for these wrestlers. That's what you get when those guys write promos, as opposed to guys 5 years ago who cut their own promos. A mediocre promo from 5 years ago is still better than the best promo you're getting on TV today. Think about that. So, Miz, he cut whatever promo, and he said he was the most must-see champion in WWE history, which is funny, because The Miz keeps losing ratings. If you watch the ratings trends for Raw, everybody who says you like The Miz, you support The Miz, and blah, 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 whatever, that's fine if you like him. But if you actually watch the quarter-by-quarter ratings trends, The Miz loses ratings. So Miz said whatever. He went to leave, and the general manager chimed in, and this is the part where Michael Cole just got up and started to walk over. And Lawler got up and took off his headset and, got in his way and made Michael Cole back up. And Lawler got on the laptop and announced that there will be first-time-ever matches on Raw. Two first-time-ever matches. You have never seen these matches before. The first one is Cena versus Alberto Del Rio. Which, okay, sure, I'd like to see that match. But let's not give it away on Raw for free. You ever think about that? And number two, this match you had never seen before, The Miz versus Great Khali. I think there's a reason why we haven't seen that match. You want to see a dead fish flop around with a wooden board? Here you go. It's The Miz versus The Great Khali. Terrible match. They went maybe about a minute And again, talking about The Miz, talking about the way he's been booked, talking about the way he's terrible, the way WWE has no faith in him, the way WWE doesn't know how to build this guy, you know, how you can't take him seriously. He's in a match with Great Khali. 2 years ago, Dolph Ziggler had to do these matches with Great Khali on SmackDown. He did 3 or 4 matches in a row with Great Khali. And while they were not spectacular, they weren't great because they're Great Khali matches, they were interesting. They were entertaining. They told a story. Something happened. He kept finding ways to outthink Great Khali, to double-cross him, to get him caught in a count-out, you know, do all sorts of things to get over on the Great Khali. So what they have with Miz, the Miz, who's the current WWE champion, the guy who's going to be in the main event at WrestleMania, the guy they're trying to book as a threat to The Rock, what do they do with the Miz? They have him get his ass beat the entire time by the Great Khali. I don't think he even got in one offensive move. Great Khali dominated the entire time. Great Khali grabbed his head and was squeezing it like a grape when the fired Alex Riley, who was supposed to not be on the show anymore, comes running out of the crowd and attacks Great Khali so that the Miz can escape and grab a chair and beat down the Great Khali with the chair. And I understand the idea of saying this guy's pissed off, he's going to take a chair, and he's just going to beat the crap out of this guy. Fine. But a guy who you are trying to push as a legitimate threat, who cannot win a legitimate match, and you put him in the situation where he's doing chair shots, and The Miz, with these chair shots, I understand this is the post-Benoit era. You're not going to start smacking people in the head like Foley used to take hard chair shots from The Rock. I understand that. So he does a couple where he slaps him on the back, Khali falls to the ground, and then he just starts doing the thing where, you know, you beat the canvas with the chair and it makes it look like you're hitting the guy. Fine. But he starts doing it so poorly, he breaks the chair. And a leg on the chair actually breaks off and cuts Khali's back because he's pounding the canvas so hard with the chair instead of hitting Khali with it. I mean, there is a way that you can slap a guy with a chair when he's laying on the canvas, and it actually slaps the guy, and the guy can kick or slap the mat to get that nice bang sound, and maybe that's the problem, that it's the Great Khali taking these shots. I don't know, but this was just another terrible segment. Didn't do anything to get anybody over. So they went backstage. Oh, I'm sorry. And then Miz picked up Khali, hit him with a DDT. I guess they have to get the DDT over, if nothing else. They went backstage. They had Snooki hanging out with John Morrison. The two were making jokes. They had Vicky and Dolph walk up. They made jokes. Vicky is a poor actress. Snooki is a worse actress. And this whole segment was just terrible. They had Vicky say something about how she was offered a Playboy cover, and Snooki said, well, it must have been the centerfold, because you could never get you all on one page. Does nobody remember when Vicky did those naked shots, like, 2 years ago for Edge, and then, like, Khali won the bid on eBay for him, or some... I don't even remember. Maybe it was Kane. I don't remember. There was some big long thing with that, and they had those edited pictures of Vicky Guerrero naked. Why didn't they just pull up one of those? Make some joke with that. Anyway. I don't know. Vicky said something to Snooki, and Snooki just slapped the crap out of Vicky. I mean, just a straight up, open-handed, hard as she possibly could slap to Vicky. It was a fine slap, but Snooki's just terrible. They walked off, and they had Sheamus come out to the ring, and... The ring announcer, Justin Roberts, reminded everybody that Sheamus had said that if he didn't win this match, he was going to quit. And Sheamus tried to get Justin Roberts to stop saying it, to lower his voice, to not mention that, whatever. Couldn't get him to stop in time. And it's kind of funny because Sheamus just kind of turns to Justin Roberts. He's just like, shh, 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 no. And he's doing the little, like cut it off, stop, 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 shh, to Justin Roberts. Is Sheamus afraid of Justin Roberts? Is he afraid to smack the microphone out of his hand? Is he afraid to punch him in the face and knock him out? I thought Sheamus was supposed to be a badass and a heel. Why wouldn't a heel trying to get away from the stipulation that he had made, smack out a ring announcer. So, anyway, Daniel Bryan comes down to the ring, and the two of them probably had the match of the night. I mean, although to be fair, this may have only been like, I don't know, I think there are only three real matches on the show. And so, you know, not really the best criteria in which to judge by, but this was a fantastic little match. And basically, Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, it just basically came down to Daniel Bryan was always one step ahead of Sheamus. He always had a reversal for Sheamus. He always had something on Sheamus. Sheamus was getting frustrated. Daniel Bryan finally jumped up to the top rope and went to do a move, and Sheamus just hit him with the brogue kick out of the air and got the pin and won the title. And it was, I mean, it was an excellent match. It was a creative finish. It was a lot of fun. Although, I'm a little worried about Daniel Bryan now. Once they take that title off of him, then they've got really nothing for him. And I'm afraid of what that's going to do for him in the long run. They had Michael Cole get in the ring, and he said he wasn't going to talk about Lawler this week. He was going to have Lawler's family talk about Lawler. And out came Grandmaster Sexay, Brian Christopher. I don't know if any of you guys are so young, you're listening to this show, you don't know who Grandmaster Sexay is, but he really legitimately was part of a hot tag team. I know he had the tag team championship on a couple of occasions. Maybe it was, you know, several. I don't know. I'd have to go back and check. But it was, you know, really, he was a big star at the time. And, of course, pretty much everybody in WWE at the time was a big star. But he walked out, and he had the puffiest, out-of-shape face. He had a huge beer gut. He looks at everybody, and you know, you look at it, and at first you're like, is that like Dusty Rhodes from 10 years ago? Well, who is this guy? And then he just starts dancing, and he has every dance move that he used to do still in his repertoire. He's doing every juke and jive and bump and grind and everything and pop and lock that he used to be doing. Every single thing comes down to the ring, gets in the ring, and he is just completely out of breath. He was able to do everything he used to do, but just nothing afterwards. So he gets in, he's, you know, sweating like crazy, completely out of breath. He basically just says, you know, Jerry Lawler never, you know, wanted to have a son. He was never a good father. He was never there. He, you know, was always more worried about being the king than being somebody's dad. You know, just on and on, stuff about how Brian Christopher never used the name Lawler because he was ashamed to use the name Lawler. And this whole time, he's getting in Jerry Lawler's face. He's getting closer and closer. He's yelling, he's screaming, he's, you know, doing all this stuff, trying to get a reaction out of Lawler, and Lawler just sits there and stares at him, and, you know, he says something else, and Lawler just sits there and stares at him, and finally, you know, he says, I never used the name Jerry Lawler because my father was a disappointment, and Lawler just basically stood up and said, you know, you're not the only one who's happy you didn't use the name Lawler. And Michael Cole starts, you know, saying something about how bad Jerry Lawler is as a father. And right then, no joke, Jim Ross comes down to the ring. Now, okay, I love Jim Ross, and I'm glad that he's back. You know, him making an appearance here is great. And the rumor is, as of right now, he is going to call at least two matches at WrestleMania, maybe more. He may, in fact, do most of the show, and then, of course, you know, call after Michael Cole leaves and Jerry Lawler leave and whatever. The funny thing is, though, they said that last year. Last year, I don't know if you remember, but the original plan was for Jim Ross to come down and call Bret Hart versus Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. For whatever reason, they just decided no. Now, this time around, they're kind of in a situation where their two main announcers are going to be in a match versus each other. So they kind of need to have somebody doing coverage, and I really hope that their idea of filling in that gap is not to have, you know, Josh Matthews And that other guy, I can't even think of his name. The guy with glasses and no personality over on SmackDown. Maybe they'll bring in the teacher. I don't know. But I just... They're going to be so hurting for someone with any type of voice and experience. You know, maybe they'll have Booker T and Jim Ross calling most of WrestleMania together. That'd be fine. I'm perfectly happy with something like that happening. But this idea of, you know, taking basically just the B team guys and putting them together to be the broadcast team for WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year, terrible. Well, anyway, Jim Ross got in. He said, you know, Michael Cole, you're not the voice of the WWE. The people are. You know, whatever. You remind me of something. And he just starts saying, like you're slimy, you're backstabbing, whatever. You remind me of a... And everybody's expecting him to say jackass. And instead he says, rat bastard. Okay, fine. Maybe Jim Ross saying rat bastard is going to be their new thing this year. Considering the whole theme of WrestleMania is apparently, you know, the Attitude Era is the theme that they're shooting for. Austin, Rock, some of these, John Cena saying purple necklace and I'm a pinwheel, blow me, all that kind of stuff is kind of pointing back to that. So I guess, I don't know, we'll see. So anyway, Jim Ross goes to leave. Michael Cole starts saying smack about him. So Jim Ross stops, turns around, takes off his hat, takes off his coat, starts unbuttoning his shirt, getting ready to fight. So Michael Cole starts taking off his jacket, you know, unbuttoning, whatever, getting ready to fight. And as they're getting ready to square off, Jack Swagger jumps out of the crowd, attacks Jerry Lawler, beats him down. You know, JR still tries to attack Cole, but then Swagger jumps in the ring and attacks JR. And Swagger grabs JR and puts him in the ankle lock. And JR starts screaming and starts pounding on the mat and screaming and screaming and pounding. And you watch this segment and you think, my goodness, JR is fantastic at selling. He is so much better selling than a lot of guys who were on the show. Great Khali, as a matter of fact. He's so much better at selling. And he passes a leg over to Michael Cole, and Michael Cole puts him in the ankle lock. And JR is just sitting there screaming and yelling and selling. Well, apparently, JR is not that good at selling. Apparently, JR was legitimately hurt. Jack Swagger just grabbed that leg and started twisting, and JR thought he had legitimately ripped his knee and had popped it out of socket and maybe torn a muscle. It was hot. He could feel the heat inside his knee. It was exceedingly painful. But to JR's credit, you know, he didn't try to get away and you know, break the moment. He thought he had legitimately gotten a knee injury, but he just laid there screaming, in order to sell it better. So credit to him for that. But still, that kind of sucks. So anyway, went to commercial, came back. We had Randy Orton versus Mason Ryan. And they said, Randy Orton's family's out in the front row, and they showed a woman who didn't look anything like his wife. And the reason why she didn't look anything like his wife, because she legitimately was his wife. And some of you were thinking, wait, how does that work? Well, because last time they showed Randy Orton's family, and they showed his wife, they hired a Playboy model to come in and pretend to be his wife. And she just basically stared at the camera and looked like she was nervous to be on TV. So this time around, they showed his actual real wife, because the show was in St. Louis, which is his hometown, and his wife and daughter were there, and it was legitimately them, and, you know, good for them, whatever. And he had a match versus Mason Ryan. And again, if you'll remember the storyline is that CM Punk versus Randy Orton will happen at WrestleMania, and Randy Orton is having all these matches against these different guys in the Nexus, in the new Nexus, and if they lose the match, then they cannot be ringside at WrestleMania. They will be banned. And so far, all Randy Orton has been doing is beating up these guys and punting them in the head. And when you get a Randy Orton punt, you're off TV for a long time. But for these guys, more than likely, they get a punt in the head and they're back in Florida Championship Wrestling. Husky Harris got punted in the head because his body looked like Dr. Zoidberg, and they wanted him to do more ab crunches, do a little PX90. They had Michael McGillicuddy get punted in the head so that he could go back to Florida Championship Wrestling so he could learn how to cut a promo. They had Mason Ryan, Batista 2, in a match, did a quick match with Randy Orton, didn't last more than a few minutes. Punk and Mason, I don't know what else to say. It was not good. It was not good. I mean, there's a reason why, guys used to travel around and do a lot of indie shows before they showed up on TV instead of just doing 3 months of developmental in Florida, and then WWE throws them on TV and it never seems to work. This was not a good match. And at the end, just like all the other guys, Randy Orton punted Mason Ryan in the head, and that was the end of him. So back to developmental for that guy, and they had Punk and Randy Orton do a face-off. Punk actually tried to run down and stop Randy Orton before he did the punt, didn't get there in time, so it looked like the two of them may have a face-off as CM Punk slid into the ring a little too late, but then he backed out, and that was it. So at least as far as their feud goes, I do want to see CM Punk versus Randy Orton. But the new Nexus, just like the old Nexus, just like the Core, is dead. Although the Core technically isn't dead, but I mean, let's face it, they're dead. Let's see, we have Drew Carey going into the Hall of Fame. Here's a little note for you. You know who else is going into the Hall of Fame this year? Bullet Bob Armstrong. Do you remember seeing the video for Bullet Bob? Nope. They announced that he was going in. He didn't get a video package. Drew Carey did. Nothing against Drew Carey, but I kind of think Bullet Bob Armstrong deserves a video. He delivers a little bit more to the fans. They had Cole going off about how great he was, about doing the ankle lock on Jim Ross, that it was a slobber knocker of an ankle lock. So there you go. He's doing that. They had the woo-woo guy, what's his name, Zack Ryder, backstage, trying to hit on Snooki, and she started tickling his abs and whatever, and it looks like, I don't know what that looks like. That's just kind of scary. Snooki came out to the ring. She said she was excited to be there. She said she was a big wrestling fan. She said she was looking forward to WrestleMania. She was looking forward to this match, and she was going to sit ringside and watch the match happen. Okay, fine. But then out came Vicky Guerrero. Vicky Guerrero said she was mad at Snooki because, Snooki was on the cover of Rolling Stone, and Vicky had actually been offered that cover. That was supposed to be her big break, and Snooki stole it from her. They showed Snooki's cover on the screen, and then they showed Vicky. They had some sort of mock-up where they had airbrushed out Snooki and instead had Vicky Guerrero, a photo of her sitting on top of the rocket on the Rolling Stone magazine. And to be quite honest, I don't think Vicky on that cover was any worse. That's just what I'm going to say there. So they had Trish come down to the ring, and Trish, luckily she was wearing her wrestling gear. If you remember last time she was on the show, she came out in these big high heel boots because she thought she was just going to be cutting a promo, whatever. And instead, at the last moment, they had her do a run-in that she was not prepared for, and she tried running down, doing wrestling moves in these big boots, and kind of fumbled all over the place. So this time she was dressed up. Boy, was she dressed to wrestle. I think it was a little cold in that arena, if you catch my drift. So, they had Trish versus Vicky. Basically, Trish just kind of threw Vicky around. Vicky kept trying to run away. Vicky's shoe came off. She threw it at Trish. She grabbed a second shoe. She held it like a baseball bat, tried to hit Trish with her other shoe, and Trish instead reversed it, threw her down, grabbed the shoe, was going to spank her with the shoe. But Layla and, what's her name, Michelle McCool, ran down with Dolph Ziggler. They broke it up. They beat her up. They had Michelle do some sort of, like, super kick. They had Vicky cover up, get the pin. As Trish was laid out, they were, taking pictures of her on their cell phones. They were making fun of her. They saw Snooki over there, so they jumped out of the ring and ran over to Snooki, and they started making faces, acting like they were going to beat her up. So John Morrison came running down to the ring, scared her off. They had Snooki and Layla, I think, did a face-off, and Snooki ran at Layla and hit a Lou Thesz press. And she hit it okay, I guess, but boy, it certainly wasn't anything that made me say, boy, I really want to see them do a match. And that's exactly what happened. As soon as the ring cleared out, the heels grabbed the mic. Vicky said she wanted to see a match. Lay Cool and Dolph Ziggler versus Trish, Snooki, and Morrison at WrestleMania. And, of course, they agreed to it. So there's your match to look forward to. Trish is going to make her big return WrestleMania, big WrestleMania match, and it's going to be tag teaming with Snooki. Great. They had Shawn Michaels cutting a promo talking about Undertaker, talking about, you know, you can't let yourself get distracted when you're wrestling the Undertaker. There's a lot of other stuff going on, a lot of, you know, lightning and smoke and whatever, and you can't let that get in your head. And it's kind of funny, because on SmackDown, if you watched SmackDown last week, they had Triple H cut a promo. And it was a pretty good promo, and basically the main thing that Triple H tried to get across was the fact that, you know, Shawn Michaels is an excellent wrestler, but he said if Shawn Michaels is fine as long as he doesn't get distracted. And they showed clips of Shawn Michaels here, you know, wrestling Undertaker, getting frustrated, getting distracted, and ultimately losing. And the promo that Triple H cut was him basically saying he won't get distracted wrestling the Undertaker because he's that cold-blooded and that cold-hearted, and all he wants to do is see Undertaker go down. So this promo actually cut well into the promo that Triple H did last week on SmackDown. So that's one good thing that they've actually put together pretty well. So credit to them for that. Finally, our main event was Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena. And here's the funny thing. When this match started, it was already past 10 o'clock. Their overruns generally about 5 minutes or so. And I'm thinking, okay, obviously there's going to be an angle. You know, something's going to happen. And Michael Cole starts yelling that he's got it on good authority that The Rock is here in the building. The Rock's going to make an appearance. Say, okay, well, this is John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio. Maybe The Rock's going to come out and, you know, rock bottom them both, and that'll be whatever. So they do their entrance. They start doing the matches. They're doing just an average match. I mean, there was nothing really special to the match, which in retrospect is good, I guess, because they were giving this match away for free, and it did end up ending in a DQ. Alberto has Brodus Clay. I think that's how you pronounce it. Brodus Clay. And Brodus Clay, I will say, for a guy on NXT, he's actually a lot of fun to watch. He's one of those guys on NXT that that guy's okay. He's basically a big fat guy, kind of somewhere between Hugh Morris and Rhino. He's got like a just this weird kind of haircut, these crazy tattoos. Big fat guy, but he's actually pretty awesome. He moves pretty well. He's kind of like Dusty Rhodes in a way, where he looks big and fat and inconsequential, but he's actually seems pretty talented. So hopefully he gets to wear a shirt. Unlike Husky Harris, had to take his shirt off, and that eventually got him punted back down into developmental. Hopefully Brodus Clay gets to keep his shirt on and therefore maintains his spot in the company. But Brodus Clay jumped in the ring and attacked John Cena, because John Cena was going for the FU, so they got this big distraction. The heels basically all attacked Cena. They laid him out. They hit him with a bunch of big moves. And all of a sudden, The Rock's music hit, and people were like, oh, it's The Rock, it's The Rock. And it wasn't The Rock, it was The Miz dressed as The Rock. He had a skull cap on, he had fake tan sprayed on him, he was wearing The Rock's I Bring It shirt, and came down to the ring and attacked Cena, and got up on the ring post and posed like The Rock and everything, and they all attacked Cena. And then he grabbed Cena, and he beat him up, and he threw him outside of the ring, and he beat him up, and he took him on the entry ramp, and he beat him up, and at this point, it was like, I don't know, 15 minutes after 10 o'clock. The show should have ended 10 minutes ago. They're doing a high overrun. They're pushing towards WrestleMania. They want to get extra time. And he's beating up on John Cena and beating up on John Cena and beating up on John Cena and beating up on John Cena. And this lost viewers. They lost. You know, normally, what will happen is they do the overrun, and people who are tuning in to watch the episode of Fairly Legal or the episode of White Collar or the episode of whatever, they tune in and they end up catching the last few minutes of Monday Night Raw, waiting for their actual show to start, and Raw picks up like 1.5 million viewers, you know, just all these extra eyeballs, and it makes the overrun. You know, they like to claim, well, they have this big deal at the end, and so people are tuning in for this overrun. This lost viewers, which means either people were tuning in to watch Fairly Legal and said, ugh, and turned it off, or people actually watching Raw were watching The Miz beat up on Cena and just said, I don't want to see this, and turned it off. Now, did they turn it off because they hate The Miz? Did they turn it off because they like John Cena? Did they turn it off because it was going on too long? Combination of all three, probably. But still, this lost viewers, and that like never happens because of the extra viewers that are tuning in for the next show. Which means an even greater number of people who had previously been watching the show turned off the show to get away from it. So what does that tell you? Besides the fact that The Miz is not working. So he threw him into the sign. There was the big WWE logo thing. He threw him into that. He did a skull crushing finale onto that thing. And you know, it was just I think they said it went like 22 minutes or 21 minutes past. I mean, it just went on forever, and it was slow. I mean, it wasn't like The Miz was pissed off and was finally taking it out on John Cena. You know, this wouldn't have gotten Miz over unless it looked like Miz finally got angry and started handing John Cena's ass to him, and that's not what happened. He hit him with a move, and they'd stop and breathe, and he would get up, and he would look around, and he would pick up Cena, and he'd carry him a couple feet. He'd hit him with a move, and he'd look around, and he'd get up and take a deep breath, and he'd look around, and he'd pick up Cena, and he'd carry him somewhere else and do a move. It was just so terrible. Maybe it's The Miz's inexperience. Maybe it's just because The Miz sucks. Who knows? But this was a terrible, terrible segment. So they had a couple things on here. It worked out pretty well, and the rest was just so awful. But you can kind of see, taking a look at this episode of Raw, you know, getting close, really close now to WrestleMania, you can see how things have really taken a dramatic turn in the last couple months. At one time they had big plans for John Morrison. Not really anymore. I mean, John Morrison may be in the big exposure match. He may be in the big match against Snooki from Jersey Shore. Well, I guess he's on the team with her, but whatever. So that's going to get him, you know, maybe a little more attention, but he's nowhere near the top of the main event. Originally, they were going to do Triple H versus Sheamus, King versus King. That didn't happen. Sheamus got booted down to nowhere, got totally thrown out the window like he didn't even matter anymore, and he's in a feud with Daniel Bryan, who they just took the title off of, so it doesn't look good for Daniel Bryan's future. What happened to R-Truth? I know a lot of you guys hate R-Truth because you hate that whole rapping gimmick. I don't necessarily like the rapping gimmick either, but I think he's tremendous in the ring. But yet, where's he been last couple weeks? Absolutely nowhere. It's just kind of amazing how much things have shifted in the last couple months, all because Vince McMahon finally realized he couldn't get Brock Lesnar. And so that just kind of, everything else had to change, everything else shifted, and, the show is something completely different from where they thought they would be a couple months ago. So, I don't know. There you go. That's what happened on Monday Night Raw, so that's going to do it for Wrestling Radio this week. But, hey, you guys, I hear you. You want the show back. You like having the show for who knows whatever reason, because all it is me talking about wrestling. But some of you guys apparently like that enough to continually hound me on Facebook. I'm getting Facebook messages from you guys. Where's Wrestling Radio? Well, here it is, okay? If you want to see more of these, if you want me to do the show more regularly, well, then A, keep hounding me, sure. But B, I need more feedback. I guess not doing it for 2 months or month and a half got me enough feedback to finally realize that you guys weren't going to leave me alone and I needed to actually do the show and you guys care about it. But I also need more guys posting on the forums. I need you leaving voicemails. It's area code 217-953-4025. Try to keep them under 2 minutes, you know, if you can. But, you know, leave me some what you thought about Raw, what you thought about SmackDown, what you think about going into WrestleMania. If you saw the TNA pay-per-view, whether or not you killed yourself. I want to hear from you guys. You say you want to hear from me. I want to hear from you. I want this to be a two-way street. And that's really what's going to keep this show going. So if I hear from you, you're going to hear from me. That's the deal. All right? Can we shake on that? Can we agree on that? So you guys, let me know what you're thinking, what you want to talk about, what you want to hear about, if you want to ask questions, and I'll see if I can find answers, and we'll keep the discussion going. Because I think that's really, you know, you can go anywhere and get a recap of Raw. If you want me to get off on a rant on something, that's fine. Going through the show, I'll run down the show. But I like having other topics to talk about, or questions to be answered, or whatever happened to that guy? Why is Titus O'Neil suddenly on NXT again? You know what happened there? So that's stuff we can talk about. So I want to thank you guys for listening. That's going to do it for today. Don't forget to check out the rest of the Pop Culture Network this weekend. We will be at C2E2 in Chicago, so make sure you check out our coverage of that if you're into comic books or just pop culture entertainment, because they do have other stuff besides comics, but there's some toy news to be covered there for that new toy smell and whatever. But we're going to try to talk to some comic guys. If you have any comic questions you want to ask, again, area code 217-953-4025. If there's a question you want me to ask a particular creator, leave me a voicemail, shoot me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com. We're going to be recording an episode of Comaholics up there. We're probably going to be recording also an episode of It Figures up there. We're probably going to I have this app on my phone that streams live video through Ustream off of my phone. We're going to be playing with it later tonight, so you might want to keep an eye on the message board, keep an eye on Twitter for what's going on with that Ustream app, because we're going to be playing around with that, and we'll probably play with that a little bit while we're out and about this weekend at C2E2. So I'm going to play with that and see what we can do. Keep your eye on that. And I just want to say that one more time. That. Keep your eye on that. Watch out for that. Thanks for listening, guys. Talk to you next time.